opening. This is Coca Chronicles podcast episode number what? Does anybody know? I swear. No. I
won't do that. Cute.
According to this, this is episode 29, not 30. According to the feed that I'm looking at. Yeah, so this is episode 29, Coca Chronicles podcast. We skipped a week last week because I went to This American Life Live, and the end of it got rained out, and the storm affected it. And then I had to do other stuff, so it was kind of a weird night. But this week, what are we going to talk about, guys? And by guys, I mean, of course, Jared and Schaefer. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm Adam, Aztec Skin on Twitter, Aztec Skin underscore CC for my UTSA tweets, which I haven't done. I've been on a weird little kind of a vacation. Like, I just kind of have not been paying attention to the internet very much. Where can we find you on Twitter, Jared?
Well, if you want to see my UTSA relevant tweets, you can follow me at CC underscore Jared, J-A-R-E-D.
And where do I find you if I want to follow you in your, like, Boston Celtics tweets?
That would be at Jared.
All right, and Schaefer, where can we find you on the Twitters?
Hold on. Is Schaefer a thing now?
Well, I call him Schaefer.
All right, bro. Yeah.
It's organic. Just, you know, let it develop. Well, my Twitter handle is at SchaeferCC. So we all kind of have a different format, but that's what mine is.
Okay, and on tonight's non-live episode, because we all went. I'm assuming you guys all watched the Spurs versus Clippers game, right?
Yeah.
So I drank a lot at Lion and Rose. A lot of Spurs this week, but right now we're gonna talk some UTSA sports because we got some basketball lined up. Well, yeah, there's like a recruit coming in, and also we got some realignment talk. So who wants to go first? What do we want to talk about first, guys?
Well, I guess we can hit the whole realignment stuff. So today the big news was that ODU finally accepted, which I'm going to refer to ODU as Old Dirty Bastard just because it just triggers that in my brain every time I hear that OD part of it. So they accepted the invite today. So I guess that shores up the whole 14 team Conference USA. And you know, we were speculating if Middle Tennessee was the backup plan, but I guess that doesn't matter anymore. But you know, I've been looking at Old Dominion a little bit because the name didn't impress me too much. But they got some history with basketball. They've gone to
basketball school for sure.
They've gone into the second round, you know, twice in the NCAA, and I think I counted up. They've been to like, I don't know what it was in the last 25 years, maybe they've gone to the tournament like 8 times or something, which is you know, pretty impressive. You know, it's a lot more than what UTSA has done. So on the basketball side, I think that's a good ad.
That's a really good ad.
Well, I think eventually it'll be a good ad for football as well.
Yeah, they're starting up the program. Well, they restarted the program, right? And like part of the delay was that they felt they could do good in the FCS playoffs, and you know, they had to notify the NCAA by June 1st, let them know that they're going to the FBS, or they plan to go into FBS, and they felt that that could affect their FCS playoff chances, and they didn't know if they want to ruin that. I think it was like, it's pretty obvious. You look at it, you're like, all right, you go to the playoffs, and that'd be cool for this class, maybe the next class, or whatever, you know, like the immediate future. But looking long term, FBS is definitely the better choice.
Yeah, along those same lines, there's some stories out today about how the conference they're in right now, the Colonial, has some weird rules about if you're leaving the conference, like you're not eligible for the conference tournament.
What?
So they're saying like those guys are going to get screwed out of that this year because Andy Katz was saying, you know, that they really should, you know, relook at that rule and look at it. But so those guys are going to kind of get screwed this season because, you know, they have to get an at-large, which that conference does get at-large bids.
Right. And yeah. I think part of the reason why Old Dominion ended up making the switch over to Conference USA is because the CAA was kind of falling apart. I think there's only going to be like 6 teams left in it now.
Yeah, I think some of them.
because Georgia State left.
You're breathing into the mic a little bit.
Yeah, I can barely hear anything else. You mouth breather, you.
All right, yeah, it sounds better.
It's getting late at night. Late at night, that's what happens.
You just heavy breathing.
Yeah, this is our late night edition of the podcast.
So yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, in their defense, I guess, you know, you're ODU and you look at your guys there and you're like, we have a good chance to compete in football this year. You know, we have a good chance to compete right now in both basketball and football. So, you know, like, do we really want to make this change right now? Unfortunately, at some point you're going to have to make this change. And I don't think that if ever, like, ODU is, like, not good, that they're going to be as, like, wanted. And, you know, like, I think there were other teams. There are a lot of other teams that wanted to get in Conference USA. They had a strike where the iron is hot. And, you know, if, like, if their conference is not going to let them play in the tournament, it's like a one-year sacrifice for, like, a 10, 15, 20-year game.
Yeah.
And yeah, it sucks for the people playing right now, but, I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Yeah.
Yeah, Jared was just telling me about how there's like a waiting list just to get into the games over there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, they've sold out 21 games in a row in like a 20,000 seat stadium.
In football or basketball?
Football.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, I guess there's not much to do in Norfolk.
No. I was looking them up. UTSA's endowment is $81 million. $81 million.
Yeah.
And Old Dominion, which was founded as the Norfolk division of the College of William and Mary, has an endowment of $170 million. And just to give you like some kind of comparison of what the schools are, ODU has 24,000 students, and it only attained university status in 1969. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's a nice little like comparison with UTSA, which also was established in 1969. It's a little bit different because...
Well, hold on, though. Old Dominion used to be a satellite, like a branch of William and Mary, though, correct?
They were founded in 1930, and they've been around for a while, but they attained university status in 1969. Yeah. So at the same time, as
a separate entity.
Yeah. Right. So, like, you know, kind of a connection there, and also in the fact that according to Dan McCarney, UTSA modeled their football program after ODU a little bit.
Well, it was one of the many.
Yeah.
There's actually a picture online of Larry and the Old Dominion coach cheesing it up. I have to track it down and put it on the blog.
You know,
I thought it was kind of interesting.
Go ahead, man.
I thought it was kind of weird that their board or whatever is called the Board of Visitors Board or something like that.
I thought that was like a typo at first, and I was like, what? Board of Visitors? Crazy Virginians. Nobody trusts them. Yeah. Cool. So
it's funny how UTSA and Old Dominion's football accomplishments are pretty much on par with each other, and other Conference USA fans seem much more opening to Old Dominion than UTSA.
They seem much more open. You mean?
Yeah, welcoming.
It's probably because Old Dominion it has been around for a long time, since the 30s, right? As like in one form or another, and then like has had an established basketball team for a while. And you look at UTSA, they came into being in 1969. You know what I mean? So I think it's just that, and like you have all these weird like demands that UTSA pay their dues, which I'm getting tired of hearing. Because I never believe in that. Ain't this America? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Damn straight. Tell them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the Conference USA guys have always been real anti-UTSA. You know, when they would talk about, you know, UTSA maybe in a couple of years, they were always like, so no way in hell. We're Conference USA. And then, like, the people at Mountain West, you know, I'm talking about people on message boards. People at Mountain West were always a lot more open-minded to it. I don't know what it is with the Conference USA guys, but well, we're here now. So.
There's still that regional holdover of UTSA as some crappy community college that people out west probably don't have as much of.
Well, yeah, because like people out west probably share something similar, you know? Like, you know, everybody's like, oh, out west, who cares about, you know, insert school here? And so I think maybe they look at, like, you know, UTSA, and they're like, oh, I remember getting snubbed like that, or getting that kind of that kind of criticism.
Sure.
Yeah. Which really concerns me, you know, me being a North Texas guy, that we are like that. Like, I think it's so stupid, and that's my biggest beef with my own fellow alums. I'm like, how can we being North Texas people, complain about UTSA when, you know, we're bitching that, like, SMU and Houston were conspiring to keep us out? That same Conference USA elitism, I guess, was like the part of the factor that kept North Texas out of Conference USA back in 2004. So it's really distasteful for, you know, fellow mean greeners to be like, oh, no, it's not. I don't like UTSA because they're not worthy.
Yeah, I think, like, that's an easy thing to fall into, because I think we'll end up kind of looking down at Texas State that same way. It's an ugly thing, but I think it's just something that kind of just naturally develops. Yeah. Keep the little man down.
So, like, you know, like, with Old Dominion coming in, I have to admit that I don't really care. Like, it could have been any team, and I would have been happy with it. So, good on Old Dominion for getting in. They're definitely going to make the basketball portion of Conference USA decent. But, you know, like, I'm mostly concerned about the West, Conference USA West, the perspective, because they haven't come out with, like, an official divisions yet, so it's nothing's official, but
it's pretty easy to draw the line, though.
Yeah I mean, you know, I think just everybody kind
from
of
an armchair perspective.
Yeah,
I think the only question is what's going to happen in this, you know, transitionary period before we get to 2015, when the football guys move up. I mean, basketball wise I guess it'll be ready to go, but football wise it'll be kind of, there'll be a transition period until everybody gets moved up.
So I think we'll be able to play them, like, we being UTSA, we'll be able to, like, you know, there'll be games, but they won't count, like, as conference games. I know something similar happened in the early days with the Sun Belt. I know, like when FIU and FAU came in, and, like, Western Kentucky, like, we played them, but they were not, like, full-fledged members, and they didn't count as conference games. So I figure that's probably what's going to happen there. Everybody will get, like, an easy win against Old Dominion football.
Well, so, but how do you handle that if both teams are in the East? So if they keep a 7-team Western Division, and then they have, I guess they would have, what, 5 teams in the East. Do all the Eastern teams get to play those two teams, or?
Well, yeah, everybody will play them. I think they'll be part of the schedule. Like, they get added to it, but they won't count as conference games. I don't know how they balance it out. I mean, I think, you know, they'll probably just, you know, like, switch up the rules a little bit. But, you know, I think it'll be just the same way. Because they won't be official members, right? Like, they won't be official members, so we won't get to have a conference championship game. Am I right? If, like, Old Dominion, well, yeah, well, we will. They will.
There's
be,
a, there's enough schools that if they wanted to put Tulane in the East for those 2 years, and they could have two 16 divisions, they could do it that way. But who knows? You know, nothing's been announced yet.
How would you rather see it?
I'd put Tulane in the East just for those 2 years, and then just move them over.
But, like, for scheduling purposes, it would work out better if, like, they stuck ODU where they're going to be. What do you think, Jared?
I don't know. Scheduling makes my brain implode for whatever reason. But, yeah, just switching one of those borders dates, like Southern Miss, maybe, would probably be the easiest thing to do. Just temporarily, you know? You can guarantee the rivalry games, whichever ones they request, to make it fair.
Sounds good enough for me. Hey, I was talking about this on the other podcast I did earlier this week, but, like, Conference USA is thinking about moving. Like, the basketball tournament has been rotated as far as I can remember. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know too much about Conference USA basketball, but apparently they rotate their conference tournament location.
No, I think it's been in Memphis the past couple of years.
Yeah, they've done a couple things. They went to UTEP for a year or two, and then I think the last 3 years or so it's been in Memphis. And then they're trying to move it to Tulsa. That was the talk this week. They wanted to get it out of Memphis just to not give them an advantage in that last year that they're going to be in Conference USA and go to Tulsa, which is just so unsexy. And I just don't understand why they wouldn't go to New Orleans.
Me either.
That's what I've been saying as well.
I mean, it's right smack in the middle. I mean, it's a great tourist town. It seems like a no-brainer to me.
Well, okay, so, like, I guess the argument against hosting it in a city, and I guess if you host it in a city, you have to rotate it, just so, like, one team doesn't have, like, a built-in advantage, you know?
Yeah.
So assuming that they wrote like that, they hold it in one city. I guess it would be like in a neutral spot, but so like I guess it wouldn't matter. One, give me your first choice for a neutral spot, and then two, give me your choice for like definite. If they did give one city an advantage, where would you want to host it, or what like two or three cities would you want the rotating Conference USA basketball tournament to be held? Go ahead, man. You already have an opinion. Chase, go ahead.
I mean, you know, there's some precedent there. I mean, like say the Mountain West, for instance, they have their tournament in Las Vegas, you know, which is home to UNLV. So right. There is some precedent there. You know, Madison Square Garden is the Big East tournament, which is
right.
You know, not too far from Syracuse and all that. So you know, I don't think it's a deal breaker. But you know, I tweeted something earlier this week that I thought between, you know, San Antonio, Miami, and New Orleans, you got three great tourist towns there. That would be great little, you know, locations to do the tournament.
Even Houston, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the good thing about Conference USA is we have a bunch of great cities here.
Yeah, that are easy to get to for other schools.
I don't consider El Paso or Tulsa or even Memphis, what has been, to be great cities, but there's some potential there.
Okay, so there's potential. There, on the one side, you have, like, money. And you know, revenue and whatever. But now on the other side is you have like built up resentment. And if we learned anything from the Big 12 conference is that you don't want to have one section of your conference getting like really resentful, like Nebraska was. They didn't like that they moved down, the headquarters of Big 12, down to Dallas, and they didn't like any of that stuff. And they didn't like the rotation of the conference championship game. So how do you appease like Tulsa? Tulsa's like, look, dude, I'm tired of traveling to New Orleans and giving New Orleans an advantage. I mean, whatever. And then like going over San Antonio, getting UTSA an advantage. We want to hold it in Tulsa. And then like Conference USA is going to be like, but it's not going to be a whole lot of money and it's kind of lame.
Mm. Yeah, and not even a great stadium or, you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know what drives these tournaments because you see a lot of them and there's empty stands and I don't even know what really is the driver, if it's the location or if it's just TV money or what it is.
It's definitely TV money. You're going to get a lot more money from TV than you will from, you know, paying tickets.
Depends on the conference because, you know, in the Southland they play at the Merrill Center, which is pretty much a really, really nice high school gym. But it's so centrally located for the conference that it works.
Yeah, because you got to take into account the ability of the fan base to travel, you know. And if you have a bunch of Southland schools with like maybe not so great of support, you're not gonna really. When you want to stick it close, and you don't really expect a whole lot of people to travel. But like for like the Big East tournament going to Madison Square Garden, you expect some kind of turnout. But yeah, it's mostly money. So with that said, what neutral site would you rather have the conference basketball tournament?
Well, we kind of have all these South cities covered, so I don't know as far as a neutral site that doesn't have a team in it, that would be kind of a hard find. You know, Memphis is kind of centrally located, but shit, I don't want to go there.
Maybe somewhere in Mississippi? I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
Biloxi, Mississippi.
Yeah, there's really not much, you know?
Hey, guys, we got this field out here. We set up two hoops. We're going to have ourselves a conference tournament.
I guess we could go to Nashville.
Yeah, and then, but I'm like, do they have an arena in Nashville? I don't even know.
No clue.
I mean, I wonder if the reason they don't have a New Orleans is maybe Tulane doesn't have some kind of relationship. I don't know if the arena where the Hornets play is a city-owned facility. I'm sure it is. Or, you know, if they don't have a relationship with them or something. Because kind of the same way with San Antonio. I was talking to my wife about this the other day that, you know, UTSA is obviously aligned with the Alamo Dome. And, you know, every time we've had NCAA regionals here and whatever, it's always in the Alamo Dome. And the AT&T Center is never involved, you know, and that's a county facility. And there's a relationship that's lacking there, I think, that maybe that's the reason. But, I mean, you know, we're talking about Tulane and the city. Look, the city just told Tulane they couldn't build a football stadium on their own property.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's some kind of strain there.
Yeah, some kind of disconnect. Yeah, so, like, if you're going to hold a conference tournament here in San Antonio, I don't think it is reasonable to hold it at the Convocation Center.
No. Get out.
So yeah, it would have to be at the AT&T
UTSA games aren't reasonable to have the Convocation Center.
Yeah, it would have to be at the AT&T Center. And I don't know if you're able to swing that. Yeah. One more time, what?
You can do it at the Alamo Dome as well.
Yeah, I know. But then, like, the Alamo Dome cost some money, and right. you're not going to get nowhere near 35,000 people to show up for.
No.
Yeah. So it'd have to be like AT&T Center. It's the only thing you could swing.
I mean, the AT&T Center would be great, but I'm saying there's something lacking there, you know. And I have family that's been part of the Spurs organization before and stuff, and there's just no relationship between UTSA. You know, UTSA tries to team up with everybody, trying to team up with Northside to right. build an arena on campus, and they're teaming up with the city to do this, do that, and for whatever reason, there's no connection there. Between the UTSA and the Spurs, and I don't know if it's because it's a county building or what, but there's something there.
Yeah, it's probably like an area for that to be explored. I wonder if it has to do at all with because the Spurs are the big dogs, and they really try to hold anybody that's non-Spurs. Like they had that big fight and argument with like the Scorpions, and like I think. The Missions owner was saying that he wanted to get some county money, but to build like a stadium downtown. But the Spurs are kind of blocking it because they're like part of the agreement for building the AT&T Center was that like the county can't give money to any other organization to build an arena, which kind of makes me sour on the Spurs a little bit. But there's a lot of that there.
Yeah, the Spurs kind of screwed over Gordon Hartman with stuff he was trying to do, but the city, stayed out of it. You know, they had a little study that said, how are they going to divvy up this money? And I think, there's a rift there between the city and the county.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's understandable too. You look at your cash cow and that's the Spurs. They're the one proven moneymaker and tourist attraction, I guess, and like economic, force in the city. So it's kind of hard to if they side on the Spurs, Spurs Sports Entertainment, it's hard to argue against that. And like, oh, why don't you back the Talons? You know what I mean? Because, well, nobody goes to Talons games. That's why.
Okay. Since we're on the topic here, as a newcomer to San Antonio, I've only lived here for 3 years. I need someone to explain to me the whole concept that San Antonio doesn't support teams when they're not winning. Because outside of the Spurs, have we ever had a team that played at a major level in any sport?
No. No.
So why are people so insistent with this phrase that I hear all the time?
I don't know who these people are. Who are these people?
You never hear people say, oh, San Antonio only supports teams that win.
No. The Spurs,
I hear it all the time. No, I heard people say that before I moved here.
San Antonio has always supported the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs have been here since, what, like the 70s? Late 60s,
yeah,
70s?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, as far as I remember, like mid-80s, till now, I mean, obviously I was a kid, I remember. So, like, I remember the 90s, and now, one, there's kind of a, it's kind of skewed a little bit because the Spurs have been good for, like, since like, 1989, since David Robinson's been there. But they've always supported him, supported the Spurs. We haven't had a viable candidate. I think I wrote about this somewhere else, once upon a time on my personal blog, that, like, San Antonio, me as a San Antonian, we want to support like big time stuff because we feel that we can be big time.
Right.
I think the one criticism we had one time was like Chris Carter when the Vikings came down and played the Saints in a preseason game. He was like, "Oh, I thought this is Texas. I thought they support football." We're like, dude, fuck you. It's a preseason game. You know what I mean? Like, I went to the game and it was cool and whatever, but it's a preseason game. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to commit to someone or something that's only there just for like an exhibition. You're like, yeah, I get it, but I don't love it. When the Saints came to town and there was that inkling that maybe that could be that the Saints could be San Antonio Saints or San Antonio
in the people went nuts for it.
Yeah, dude, like, I went to two games, I remember thinking, I'm a Cowboys fan, I remember thinking, I looked at the Saints as they were driving against, like, the Falcons, and I looked at my brother, and I was like, dude, I could root for the Saints against Cowboys. I could do it. I could do it. It's my team. I could do it.
That's big.
Yeah, and I later proved it. I mean, like, when North Texas played Texas, I grew up a Texas fan. When North Texas played Texas, I had no qualms for rooting against Texas. Cause I was like, this is my school. This is my UNT school. I went there. I'm paying money to go there, and I have the shirts and whatever. So I think it's more like if a professional organization commits to San Antonio, San Antonio will totally commit to that organization. Mm-hmm. And like not just like a rinky-dink, fucking arena football playing in the Alamo Dome. That's, is that real? No. Nobody really considers Arena League, the league that went bankrupt like a year and a half ago, as a legit league. NFL, NBA, I think we would also support some MLB.
I'm not too sure about that.
I think we would. I think the missions have been there. The missions' problem is that they're way in the hell out there,
right?
And then also they're double A. You know what I mean? They're not big time. You're like, yeah, the missions, but how attached can you get to?
I just don't know how much of a baseball town San Antonio is.
I think there's a lot of Houston transplants, and there's a lot of Texas. I mean, like Dallas transplants too. That can get behind it. I think it can be taught, but like again. It's hard to get behind a double A team.
Yeah. And I don't think that you can look at the missions to like kind of decide how an MLB team would work, because there's been several examples where teams had, like the Nationals, like they had a double A or triple A team, and you know, they got shitty attendance. And they still get shitty attendance now with the Nationals, but it's much, much, much higher than what they had before.
Yeah. And then there's also like the fact that, like, to get a winning team, because like Texas Rangers, they didn't really have a whole really amazing attendance either until they started winning. You know, from the, like the 70s till now, they've been a shitty team. They only made the playoffs a couple times, and you know, it's only been now that they've really, really been good that people are going. And I don't think that's like a knock on anybody. You know what I mean? Like, who goes see shitty movies? Nobody sees shitty movies. You see good movies. You know what I mean? Who watches terrible basketball? Nobody wants to watch terrible basketball. It's not a knock. Like, dude, you don't love your team that you go see terrible basketball? Like, no, dude. When they put good basketball on the court, then I'll go watch it. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, there's a give and take on both sides.
True.
So, no, I don't believe San Antonio is a bad sports town. I think we've showed enough that you put a good product on the court or on the plane situation, yeah, we'll go see it. And hell, look at the damn Scorpions. People went out there. They're like, hey, San Antonio Scorpions, 13,000 people were there, and they've averaged like 9,000-10,000 people at a high school football stadium.
Right,
which is a terrible place to watch soccer. So no, I know, hey, I got just heated right now.
Yeah, so talking about that conference tournament thing. I wonder, you know, with all the stuff that was going on with our city leaders, you know, lobbying and making phone calls and doing all this stuff to Conference USA and to the presidents, if any of that kind of stuff was promised or even to the point of a bowl game or a football, you know, the football championship game, the Conference USA goes to, it's a home game for one of the teams, which I don't know if I like or not, but I wonder if some of that stuff was kind of put in there with the pitch that they were doing for the city.
I'm a fan of conference championships held at the best record site. I think the Pac-12
who wants
doing
to
that,
see
right?
a high stakes game played in front of a half empty crowd.
Yeah, totally in favor of that. And also,
but I'm one of the guys who's in favor of the on campus playoff system. So
yeah, I have no problem with that. Hey, if Boise can have a bowl game, I don't see any problem with San Antonio having a Conference USA tie-in. You know. Gives a little extra incentive. And if anybody else wants to host a bowl game, well, then build up your stadium. You know what I mean?
I think it's just a matter of time until San Antonio gets another bowl game. And I think that's something we brought to the bargaining table when we were talking with the other conferences. Because, you know, the Alamo Bowl has been so successful as of lately. So, you know, there's a market. There's a place to have it. Why not have another bowl game? It's not going to hurt anything.
I can see that happen. Although I will say that I think part of the allure of the Alamo Bowl has been like the matchups that, you know, like I think the biggest games have been Texas teams and Texas A&M specifically.
Yeah.
And you know, like big time matchups. Like when Texas was terrible for a while and they played like Iowa, that was like the second biggest attendance ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think some of that is the teams, you know. What was it last year? Was it Baylor? Did Baylor play there?
Baylor, yeah. And Washington.
Yeah, and Baylor had the Heisman Trophy winner, and it was a decently attended game. I'd like to see another bowl game here. That'd be awesome.
It'd be kind of cool to see, you know, some ranking of Conference USA against a Big 12 school here. That would kind of cover both geographic areas, you know, even if it was, you know, the third, fourth, or fifth, or whatever Big 12 school. Because we have, you know, four Texas teams here in Conference USA, and we're down to three, or no, we're back up to four with TCU. In the Big 12.
Yeah.
TCU, Baylor, Texas, and...
Tech.
Tech, yeah.
Conference USA have as a bowl tie-in right now? Don't they play like the who do they play?
Right now the champion plays in the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, so I don't know what kind of relationship.
That's SEC.
Yeah, and somehow something happened this year where Southern Miss got squeezed out of it or something. There's some rule where SEC could decide to play. I don't know. I read about it today, but there was some kind of weird rule, and a lot of people were pissed off at Southern Miss because they didn't go play that Liberty Bowl, because I guess the last few years that's been the champions, the Conference USA champion goes there. So I don't know if that relationship's going to stay there with, you know, Memphis going to the Big East now.
Mm-hmm. So hypothetically, there's a chance that we can meet A&M in a bowl game.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, like, you know, so, you know, Big 12's got two schools in Oklahoma, right?
Right.
And, you know, we got a team in Oklahoma, we got two in Louisiana. It's geographically, it'd be kind of a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just got to see how well all these people travel. That's pretty much it. I'm kind of pissed at
the Oklahoma schools right now. They're kind of on our nuts with recruiting, man. They're offering all these kids from San Antonio. It's pissing me off. It's one thing if we lose a recruit to Tech, to Houston, whatever. At least they're staying in Texas. That's all I care.
Yeah, that OSU offered that East Central kid, right?
Yeah, Austin Jupe.
Yep, and we've been on him for a long time.
Oh, years now.
Yeah.
So you know, that's a nice little transition into the Utah kid coming.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the highlight tape?
I have not.
Jared, you are the expert of assessing talent. Please tell us what you think. Because his stats are quite underwhelming.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of that is the system they put him in at Utah. I wrote a blog post from a Utah basketball blog, and they were really upset. And, I mean, this is before the kid decided to transfer. They were really upset with the way that he was treated. You know, they said that he had too much talent to be kind of pigeonholed into their offense, if you will. And, I mean, you can just tell that Utah was a very poorly coached team with their record and all. They just ran this lame offense, and they didn't let this kid do his thing. Gave him limited minutes. You know, they put him in for 3 minutes, take him out, put him in for 4 minutes, and then that's it for the game. So, you know, it's hard to get a good look at what he can do statistically off of that small sample size. And also, he was a freshman in the Pac-12. You know, so take it for what it's worth. But I've been watching his highlight. Man, it's getting late. I can barely talk. But I've been watching his highlight film from his prep school days. Man, that kid can play, dude. He is, you know, he can jump out of the gym. He's 6'6", about 220 now. He's got a nice big body for a shooting guard. He can shoot. So, I mean, there's really nothing the kid can't do offensively.
So you think he's going to come in and kind of be top dog once he starts playing?
I don't know. Sometimes in a situation where they have to sit out a year like that, he kind of falls off a little bit as far as like being a leader goes. That's what happened with Stephen Franklin back in the day. It's for an injury, not really because he was transferring from another D1, I think. But yeah, I mean, I think come 2013, I think he'll be a starter for sure because Cannon will have graduated.
No, I was just thinking right now. And I always, like, I think I said this before on the podcast, somewhere around episode 13 or whatever, that, you know, like, the thing about basketball is that one guy can change the fortunes of the program, unlike in football, where you need, like, 10 guys to come in, like, 10 reasonably good guys to come in to give the squad depth and, like, talent and whatever. Basketball, you just get, like, one dude, and he can change the fortune. And, like, if you're a longtime UTSA fan, you know this, because there have been, like, one or two singular talents in UTSA basketball history that have led them to the tournament. This is a crucial year. This squad needs to do reasonably well, and possibly, I think the expectations may need to be, like, hey, you need to make the tournament, because it's going to be really hard. You know, like the Conference USA bump is only going to get you so much, because you got to realize that they're going to be 14 other teams in Conference USA, you know, that you got to compete with. And then there are tons of other schools that are doing other things and, you know, plenty of places to go. If UTSA can make the tournament and make some noise and have that nice splash of attention that they had 2 years ago, that's going to be exactly what they need to get to hit the ground running in Conference USA. You know what I'm saying? That you don't want to be like, oh yeah, a couple years ago we were good in the Southland Conference. You don't want to be going and trying to pitch that to these badass recruits and things, especially as you're trying to replace a lot of this talent. You know, oh geez, I can't even remember anybody's name. But yeah, like yeah, you know, the Australian guy and you know, the
Jeremy
guy who shoots threes. Yeah, jeez, Melvin. Terrible right now. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? Like now's the time. You got to go in. You gotta do really well. You gotta make a name for yourself again, right now, to stay fresh on everybody's mind. That's the nature of college basketball. It's like you know, one year, 2 years off, and then everybody forgets about you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the other big talk with that guy coming in is who's gonna get cut?
Is anybody getting cut?
Yeah, someone has to get cut.
Who's getting cut?
Well, I mean, who do you guys think?
I think Jared knows something.
Jared, maybe. What do you know?
It's one of those things he can't share.
I know that it's probably who you think it is if you follow the team pretty closely.
Jared, who is it, Jared? I don't want to play this game at 12:38.
Let me speculate then. You know, a lot of people are talking about the Mr. Bad Apple here. The guy who's kind of messing up chemistry and stuff, who's one of our best shooters. So a lot of people, you know, I don't know anything. I'm just speculating, but a lot of people talking about Melvin Johnson being the guy that's gonna end up getting cut here.
Yeah, that's the common conception out there.
Jeez, that'd be really him getting rid of him.
Well, think about it.
15 points a game.
Yeah,
lights out shooter.
Several turnovers a game, shitty defense, make your entire team run zone, bitching at your teammates every game.
Attitude.
Taking minutes away from Cannon, who is just as good, if not arguably better.
I say Cannon can't shoot as well, but Cannon does all those other things. Tell you the truth, I wouldn't think that's a terrible loss. I totally agree. I mean, we've said this before, that for all the good that he does, he has some huge gaping holes for a sophomore player to have, you know? Like, dude, how are you going to be so terrible in transition when that's how we try to score? We need to score in transition.
Yeah, it comes down to effort, you know, a good 25 to 50% of the time with him, and that's what's so frustrating, you know? So, yeah, you know, let's say Melvin does end up, you know, shipping out. Talent-wise, less talent on the team with him gone. But it's going to make everyone else that much better because that, you know, Melvin's not going to be around to kind of be whispering on the bench about, you know, oh, coach is fucking us up or whatever, you know, whatever he does.
Yeah.
Just whining on the court. God, I can't stand it, man. I just want to walk out there and smack him.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else do we have in the agenda? Season ticket renewals? Will we have more than last year? I thought I saw a report that we do already have more than last year, right?
No, we're on pace to have more than last year.
Okay, that's what it was.
So
yeah, I reached out to a source that I had out there, but he wouldn't really tell me either way. Because I'm curious because typically, you know, with new franchises or new teams, you get that big surge at first with season tickets, and then you know, second year it's expected to go down, but. I don't know. This situation's so fluid, and the whole Conference USA thing. I'm really curious on how that's going. So you know, Dan McCarney tracked that real closely last year. So hopefully, here in the summer, he'll get some information on that for us, kind of keep us updated. Because I am curious where we're going to be at.
Well, if we don't know the numbers, you know, like how's the feeling? I wasn't down here. Oh, I was down here. I had just moved. What was the excitement level? Like, you're on campus every day, Jared.
Yeah.
What's it like there? Is everybody still excited about the season coming up? Or
People are really excited about moving to the WAC because I think in a lot of ways it makes people feel
to the Conference USA?
Well, to the WAC first. I hear more people talk about the WAC than Conference USA, surprisingly.
Well, yeah, I guess
next year the excitement level is going to be even higher. But yeah, people still see the WAC as like this power conference, even though it's not anymore. But people still associate, you know, Nevada, Hawaii, BYU, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of people feel like being associated with those schools, even in a previous relationship of sorts, is kind of a cool thing, you know. Kind of. Yeah.
Well, at the very least, we'll be on the same Wikipedia page, you know. We'll be former members of the WAC.
UGSA, yeah, there'll be less degrees of separation.
Long list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know during the spring game they were advertising they were doing season tickets in the 300 level, you know, which wasn't even available for all games last year. So that was kind of an oddball because you saw they advertised it at the game, but you didn't really see anything else about it anywhere else. So you know, there's so many gaps in the lower bowl and the club level for them to be, you know, pursuing that upper deck is kind of curious. I mean, that shows there might be some demand there.
Yes and no. I think you got to know, you know, like you just try to sell as many as you can. It's like, you know, like you have your product list, you know, you got your Camaro and then you got your shitty, you know, like, I don't even know what the shitty, like Chevy product is anymore. But, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if that's what you could sell, you sell it because that's guaranteed money. It's upfront money, you know. That's
well, I know. Want. I know. At the beginning of last year, you know, they were talking about how they were planning on sectioning off the upper deck and, you know, using different. You know, they have different curtains and stuff that they do to do it. And they ended up leaving it open all year. You know, some games it was actually people up there. Some games there wasn't. So I guess the demand is more than what they kind of anticipated, but.
I think it's more than they thought it would be, you know, like, well, it definitely is. They didn't think they were going to get 35,000 people average. They thought they were going to get, like, 20,000 people.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's why they were planning. They were going into it saying, all right, we're not going to open the upper level. But now they're like, hey, we averaged 35,000 people last season. You know, maybe there's not going to be as much natural excitement, you know, because people have, like, it's not new anymore. But there's definitely, you know, that's why they're working to get everybody, you know, signed up for some season tickets, you know. And if they're like, hey, I know you won't buy club level season tickets, but maybe you'll buy 300 level season tickets, you know.
Yeah, but at that point, they're making the commitment to open that section, which is, you know, a whole different dynamic with Aramark as far as, you know, putting concessions up there. It's, yeah. You know, there's a lot that goes into that. It's, you know, that's a commitment there, so.
Yeah, well, I guess it's
promising. I wish I've seen more advertising for it. It was like a lot of people talked about it. Like, oh yeah, I saw that advertisement at the spring game, and then now it's kind of disappeared. So
yeah, I hope they run ads on TV that say like season tickets starting at $50. Because if I'm, you know, Joe Blow on the South Side that's never been to a college game, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, it looked pretty cool from the highlights, and I was like, man, $50 for 5 home games, that's a pretty good deal. You know, I'd probably look into that.
That's better than getting 4 tickets with a bucket of chicken.
Yeah, I know, right?
I think they've done a good job. I think right now you're probably not going to get that much attention, no matter what the hell you do. Spurs are in the playoffs and they're kicking ass and likely going to the finals.
It's a hard time to market.
So like from now till June, you just kind of step aside and you wait, and then you turn it up again. Once the Spurs are done, you're like, hey, Spurs are done, but guess what's coming up? It's almost football season.
There you go.
And then everybody's like, oh yeah, it is almost football season. Hey,
almost 100 days till kickoff.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, season tickets are only you know, X amount of dollars. You're like, hey, you know what? We already went on vacation. You know, let me check my budget. Yeah, we'll go to some UTSA football games. That seems awesome. So yeah, you just wait. Just wait a little bit. I think they made a big push. Was it like from January to March, pretty much? I felt like I was getting inundated all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in the morning I tune into like Ticket 760 for like 5-10 minutes, and I hear like at least one advertisement about I heard one advertisement about, you know, season tickets coming up. So I think they've done a good job. I think, yeah, you're right, Shafe, that they're fairly confident, more confident than they were last year. Well, and I think with reason to be, because they had 35,000 people show up, and now they have the Conference USA bump.
Well, in the sampling size that I've seen, just people, random people, you know, maybe not people that are huge fans or whatever, just kind of casual, everyone's a renewing, even people who, you know, aren't hardcore. So I hope that, you know, what I'm seeing in my sample size is true overall, and they got a good renewal rate going on.
That's my experience as well.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm gonna be a student. I've said this a million times. I'm not buying any tickets.
What?
I said I'm gonna be a student, so I'm not buying any tickets next season. So I haven't bought any season tickets. I gotta admit to everyone.
I've said this a million times, but I just can't fathom any idea why a season ticket holder wouldn't come back, because you're getting a better value for your money. You're seeing better teams. There's more people at the games. The team is going to be better. The entire experience it's going to be more polished and more rehearsed.
Right. If you're willing to commit initially, it's only going to get better this year and then next year after that. So.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, and it will always be a really great deal, I think, until they're University of Texas level, definitely. I mean, I got season tickets to UNT basketball, and that was the greatest deal ever. Because it was, courtside, you know what I mean? Like that stupid guy at the Spurs games, it's, right behind the announcers that I hate. I hate that guy. And he's been a season ticket holder for, 10, 15 years now, and I don't know, I just don't like him. But you're, that close, and you spend thousands and thousands of dollars less, because it's, $100, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a similar thing, dude. You could just pretend like you're at a. It's really the Cowboys games are not that much more awesome than the UTSA football games, and I know they may sound like blasphemous to certain people, but they're not. You're seeing quality football for way less of a price, and you're not getting your eyes poked out and giving your money to Jerry Jones.
That's kind of what I was gonna say. It's not so much the experience is comparable, so much as UTSA is so unfathomably cheaper.
Yeah. And so your value goes way up, you know?
Right.
You don't feel like you got because you go to the game, and no matter what the game, you feel like you had a good time. You go to a Cowboys game after shelling out $500-$600, you're like, this game better be 48-0, and somebody better set some records today, because damn it, I just, shelled out my kids' school supply money. You don't feel like that when you go to UTSA football game.
Sure.
Yeah, so there you go. By the way, Spurs tickets were only $15 for the game.
Five,
one and game
five
two.
Bucks for me, homeboy.
Spurs tickets?
Yeah.
Oh, you went to what, game one?
I went to game one, yeah.
Oh, where were you sitting?
I was sitting...
Were you by yourself, though?
Well, the thing was, you can only buy individual tickets, because it was like the college program where you show up early,
okay.
And then whatever tickets they haven't sold, they'll sell to you. So you tell them oh, can I get 5 Spurs U tickets? And they're like, well, we can't sit you next to each other because they're not available, but we'll sit y'all as close together as we can. So pretty much it was me and 2 friends on one row, and then one row down were 2 other friends. Not bad.
I was at Flying Saucer on Monday night hanging out with my college buddy, and he was like, hey man, where's the Spurs? What time does Spurs play tomorrow? Meaning Tuesday. So I looked at my phone, and I saw on StubHub that the tickets were only $15. I was like, oh, shit. So I bought 3. And then we went to the game next night. I don't know what that says. So, maybe that throws some doubt on my argument about how well the Spurs are supported, that tickets were only $15 each.
Yeah.
But I will say it was a Tuesday night, and it's really, you have to get up at, 7 or 8, and you're like, maybe I don't want to go.
It's spoiled fans because...
And that too, yeah.
In 1999, when it was second round, it was people staying overnight in line and stuff. It was
well. It's just, in 1999, we were playing at the Alamo Dome, and they were. I bought plenty of $5 playoff tickets.
And it's just 4 championships kind of dulls the second round a little bit.
Yeah, and how excited can you get about the Clippers? Really, I mean, do you hate the Clippers? Nobody hates the Clippers,
I don't know. I think there's a pretty big resentment for the Clippers in San Antonio.
Nah, it's like hating a disabled kid. You're just like, is it really? I just feel wrong.
But they're like the anti-Spurs. They play the least fundamental basketball in the league.
Yeah, no, that's no reason to hate them. Hate the Lakers.
I guess.
You just kind of dislike or, dislike the hype of the
Clippers. I suppose so. I mean, they're not the Lakers, but they're as close as they'll get.
Yeah, you hate the Lakers. Maybe you hated Utah back in the day. You hate the Mavericks. Yeah. There's nobody else that you hate. Mm-hmm. You just kind of maybe strongly dislike.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. You don't even hate Boston. I don't hate Boston. But apparently Tim Duncan hates Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
I can't wait to play in the finals. Yeah, yeah. And we're gonna beat up Jared. We're all going to beat him up because he's a Boston fan. All right, so what else do we have to talk about? We talked about the Utah basketball transfer, season tickets, ODU. What else do you got here? Review of Invitation Day. Anyway, SMU doesn't go to the Big East.
No.
No, they're gonna go. Possibility of Boise State and San Diego State coming back to the Mountain West. And if so, did UTSA make a mistake by not picking the Mountain West Conference?
No,
I think UTSA definitely made the best choice. It's a regional conference over here.
But you think if Boise State, because you know Boise State's having trouble finding a place for their non football sports, and that's kind of the big talk right now. And so they're saying they got to make a choice of either crawl back to the Mountain West or find some other place since the WAC's gonna die. So just say for instance that they did come back to Mountain West. And then, for whatever reason, San Diego State followed suit. So then you got a great basketball program and a great football program coming back. I mean, you know, great programs. Would you rather see UTSA over there, you know, with some more prominent programs?
No.
Or does the regional thing trump it all?
Yeah, regional trumps it all. I think prominent programs, prominence it comes and goes. San Diego State, a couple of years ago, was a terrible basketball university. They were a terrible football school. Also, like you just hire the right coach, and all of a sudden you're pretty good. Boise State wasn't that good in 15 years ago. Nobody's excited about being in a conference with them. Right now they're good, but I think regionalness, like you know, nobody's going to move a city. Like New Orleans is not going to be a great city to go to in 20, 30 years. Well, at least it's not likely to be. You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff builds up, and the more regional you are, easier the connection builds up. A lot of times there's natural connections anyway, and you just kind of stoke those flames a little bit, is what I'm saying.
I still think with the return of Boise and San Diego, the Mountain West is on the verge of being one of those big players. You know, they're kind of finding that middle ground between, you know, the haves and the have-nots and trying to scratch that surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different kind of perception there.
Yeah, and that's kind of appealing to me. I kind of like that.
You said again. You like what?
I kind of like the being on the verge of the AQ conference or whatever, trying to claw your way in.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, like you end up with because it just reminds me of like Florida State back in the day where they're just stomping on everybody else in the ACC. You know what I mean? Like nobody else like gained prominence by being murdered 48-4, by Florida State. You know what I mean?
Four would be an impressive number of football.
Yeah.
It was weird.
They had someone would make a lot of money in Vegas on that game.
Yeah, they got two safeties. But you see what I'm saying? Like, if you're with a team that's so much better than you, they need to be in that sweet spot. They need to be really good, but they can't be too good. You know, but like being in a conference with Texas, nobody would gain from that. You know, we just get murdered every week with Texas just rolling up on everybody, 60-0, 50-0, that kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, look at Ole Miss and Kentucky in the SEC. They have shown zero progress the past, decade.
Yeah. And, like, every once in a while, Vanderbilt will go out there and, like, you know, win their division or something like that. But then that's it. Like, it's, like, once every 30 years.
It's a random thing.
Yeah. No, I think you stick with people that are your level. I think it makes everybody better. I think it's better for everybody in the conference. You have a nice, solid, strong conference.
I think it's like it's one of these things where you're like we're just getting started with the football and we're just trying to find some respect, you know. And it's just like being a Spurs fan, right? Like a Spurs fan, you always want that respect, And then you finally win championships, and you're like, well, who gives a shit, what the guys on TV say, And so it's just a matter of like being associated. So I think now that we've kind of reached this goal, we don't need to worry about these associations so much. We just need to kind of just go forth and make a long term home here and build some rivalries and do all that and not worry about, what's upcoming or what the possibilities are.
Yeah, because,
we might be here for 30 years and that's fine. Let's just get comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at, anybody's, life anyway. I've been thinking about this, recently, that if you spend your life trying to win someone else's approval, then that's a shitty way to spend your life. And you're probably never going to be happy because, it's like, I think the phrase, they keep moving the goalposts, you know what I mean? Like, you win a championship, then what? Like LeBron wins a championship. Then they're like, oh, okay, well, you haven't won two championships. He's like, oh, so he has to win two. Oh,
but you'll never be as good as Jordan.
Yeah, like, so you're like, oh, okay, I got to win.
Not two, not three, not four, not five. Those are his words.
Yeah. Definitely. So, all right. So he wins 7. What did they say? Well, Bill Russell won 11. You're like, oh, shit. I got to win like fucking every year. Oh, well, you didn't. You know what I mean? People keep moving the goalposts. You try to be the best you can be. I know that sounds really, really lame and really after school special, but you really can. You look just a little bit further ahead and you try to reach that and you just keep going. Like UTSA leveled up. So next year we try to get a little bit better. Next day we try to get a little bit better. Next season we try to get a little bit better. And then, you know, hopefully if everything goes right, 20, 30 years, we're 20, 30 years ahead, you know, as long as we keep moving forward. And that's always the goal. You never want to take a step back. But you don't get too greedy and try to just like jump up 20 steps. I mean, you do the right things. Right now, we need to focus on building some facilities, recruiting good players, competing in Conference USA, and then take the next step after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's try to get into a conference championship before we do anything. We've been moving so quick.
SB Nation's raging hard on for relegation the past.
I've been busy, but if it's anything like what I think, then yeah, I'm totally agree with it.
I'm kind of because you can have one shit a year, like say your quarterback tears his ACL, and then your entire program gets screwed over, and you have to move down to some shitty conference. You know what I mean?
Well, but then like if you have like a higher conference caliber talent, and it was really just your quarterback that shut you down, so he comes back. It's like Case Keenum, right? He'll come back, and then he'll just dominate and lift them back up.
Yeah, but it's like a wasted year.
Yeah, maybe, but you know that's the deal. It's like a wasted year anyway. Sometimes it happens to these squads. Look at West Virginia when Pat White got hurt, right? They could have won a national championship, dude. Look at Oregon when I forgot the guy's the other quarterback, the guy that was a Heisman Trophy contender. He got hurt against Arizona State in the game they should have won. That could have been their year too, but it wasn't because he got hurt. Happens all the time, dude.
But they didn't screw up their entire program by, you know, not winning the championship that year. Like, under relegation, they would have moved down to the WAC or something like that. Then they'd have to claw their way back up.
Well, like, it depends. It depends on, like, how far you go. You don't get relegated for having a 12-1 record, you know? Like, Hawaii wouldn't have got relegated for losing to Georgia in the
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I got a little carried away there. But, I mean, you know what I mean. Like, I don't think, like, freak accidents should have that much control over the future of your program.
I don't think they do generally, but I think it's like general mismanagement. You know what I mean? Like, all right, if your starting quarterback goes and you have nobody after him, well, maybe that's like that shows like systematic terribleness. Like, yeah. You didn't recruit for like 5 years. So you have nobody that's even kind of on this level. Like, you have an A level quarterback, but you have no B, C, or D. You just have F level quarterbacks after him. Maybe that's on you, dude. Maybe you should have been recruiting. I guess that's the way I look at it.
I think the only way that I'd be cool with it is if you have to suck for like 5 years to get relegated or be really good for 5 years.
You know what that is?
That's yeah, because what SB Nation was talking about was doing like a year-by-year thing.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about? You're talking about like an Argentinian soccer league kind of dude. They take like an aggregate of the last 3 or 4 years and then they drop you.
Sorry, but that's kind of stupid.
Well, that's kind of stupid because like, I don't like that because it's like, you know, you got to have – it's hard to – you can't just look at the standings and do it. You have to like look at the last 4 years and then calculate it and take an average and like a coefficient and whatever.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of stupid. I don't know. I'm in favor of it. You know, it's like the capitalist in me, you know, social Darwinist in me that says like, yeah, you know, survival of the fittest. On the other hand, if you look at the leagues that do, like in Europe, that everybody loves this relegation, but in the last 20 years, the EPL has only had 5 champions, and they had 4 all the way up until this year when Manchester City amazingly won it because they had some Arab oil come in there and, you know, buy up all the good players. So, relegation is not all that romantic. And one of the great things about the American systems is like how like everybody kind of has a chance. And then, you know, like hope springs eternal and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And I guess part of the problem is that in college football, everyone doesn't have a chance.
Yeah. You know,
there isn't that equal access to a championship. So I guess relegation is one way that over the long-term aggregate, you could give that possibility.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah, it's just kind of like reinforcing the current system, pretty much what the good thing would be.
I mean, it's a shame that if you're in a non-AQ school, you have to do it for like 4 years before you actually move up enough to do anything. I mean, look what, you know, Boise did. You may have that 1 year, you may have a, you know, that great team or whatever. But if you didn't have 2 years history before that, you're not high enough in the rankings to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, if you're in one of the big conferences, you're going to end up in the championship game.
Yeah, look at Virginia Tech last year.
Yeah. See, and that's in the way that it could be argued that we kind of have some kind of system like that. Like, you know, like I always say this about basketball. Like, if, like, say Gonzaga, when they were just the Cinderella team and not like getting like 5 and 6 seeds, when they were getting the 12 and 13 seeds, if they went on an amazing streak and they would have won some of those games, they would have been the champion. You know what I mean? Like George Mason got all the way to the Final Four under like a relegation type system where like it's a overtime. Motion system, they wouldn't raise that high, you know. Like it would have been like you said, Boise State wins. Like, oh, that was great. Now let's see if like next season you could level up again, you know, into the group of teams that actually wins a championship. So it's kind of lame.
Hey, what do you guys think about this? If there was like an 18 playoff, just say, you know, there's no guarantee anything will be like this, but. You know, like death to the BCS, they had a championship playoff plan. Right. But if there was a thing where you had AQs for every FBS conference, would we see some of the bigger schools move down just to have a competitive kind of thing where they get into the tournament? Or is the TV money drive it too much that nobody would move down like that?
Well, I think part of the debate on that was that the conferences would kind of default into a more regional system. Because there is less of a dependency on being in that AQ quarter
right.
conference. So, mm-hmm. you know, for instance, Boise State doesn't need to be in the Big East anymore. They can stay right. over the WAC or whatever.
But do you think people would do that? Or do you think the TV money would drive it too much?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Because I think that there's going to be marquee matchups no matter what in any conference.
Yeah, I guess it would depend on the criteria. Like Jared's saying that... right now, part of the reason not only is like the TV money that you get from being in the SEC, but it's the national attention that you get from being in the SEC that you win. It's kind of like a self-propelling kind of thing. Like you're in the SEC, which is perceived to be as the best conference in college football. So if you win games there, then your wins kind of count like as like 1.5 wins. You know what I mean?
Whereas, that is so true. That's so true.
Yeah, like and whereas Boise State's like, damn it, we need to be in a conference where we get exposure, so people are watching us whip up on teams, and also we're whipping up on teams that are perceived to have better, better quality. And so it depends on the qualifications to get in his 18 playoffs. You know. If they're like just based off wins or conference wins, well, then you just be in a conference that you can win. If they're based on quality wins, then you be in a conference where you get quality wins.
I think in death to the BCS, they had like a 16-team playoff, I think.
Yeah, 16.
Yeah. So like you guys were talking about Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and obviously Kentucky has something different with basketball in their hands. But if you're Vanderbilt, you know, would you just go down to the Sun Belt and kick everybody's ass?
Maybe it depends if the Sun Belt gets an auto bid.
Or is that giant SEC contract worth more?
The Sun Belt does have an auto bid.
Yeah. Then you do that. Then there would be more incentive to be in a conference where you could get a win.
But is that more valuable than $15 million or whatever you're getting on the TV money?
I think you end up trading it. Maybe you don't get so much TV money for your regular season games against Arkansas State, but once you enter the 16-team playoffs, that's where you get your money. You start divvying that up, and
Yeah, and maybe
you want to look at like basketball. Basketball is the same way. Who watches regular season Sun Belt basketball, Southland basketball? Nobody. You get some TV. Well, yeah, we do. But if you get money for the conference tournament, and then you go to the NCAA tournament, the big tournament that everybody cares about, that's where most of the money comes from. You know, that's where all the tournament shares come from. Is that thing. And you like if speaking of soccer, that's where you get like about $32 million as a team if you make the Champions League in European soccer. It's like here you go, boom, $32 million. In addition to the raised profile, you get to say, hey guys, we're in the Champions League. Buy our shirt. You know, man, You raise your team's profile. There's just a lot of good that comes from it, you know?
Yeah, well, maybe someday they'll get this shit straightened out. At least they're starting to make some improvements here.
Yeah. All right, so running up on an hour, and it's now 1:06 in the morning.
Yep.
So I think we're going to wrap up this podcast.
I got a funny aside to close this out.
Sure.
I've been scouting this kid. UTSA coaches were at his high school to watch their spring game. So I kind of checked all their rosters, see if anyone stood out. And they have a sophomore that's 6'5", 285. Pretty good tape. You know, he's real powerful, great feet. And, you know, he's just a sophomore starting last year. And then it has his 40-yard dash listed on his profile, 5.1 for a 6'5", 285-pound lineman. And I'm like, man, there is no way that's right. There's no way. And it was like this big debate in the office today that there's no way a 16-year-old could run that being that big. So, you know, I dive through Google to try to find some combine this kid's gone to. And after like 30 minutes of looking, I finally found that he went to this combine and ran a 5.8.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he shaved 0.7 seconds off of his 40 on his profile.
That sounds about right. I think I did that too.
But if Rivals believes it, Rivals will give him a 3-star. So.
Yeah, there you go. And that's why we trust Rivals, because they're so awesome. So, again, thanks for listening to the podcast. I don't know when the next live one will be. I think we'll probably do a live one when we have something, you know.
Big.
Something big to do. As always, Adam, you can find me on Twitter at AztecSkin_CC. That's my UTSA-centric tweets. You can find me at AztecSkin, where I just talk about bullshit. Jared, where can we find you on the internet?
My Coker Chronicles account is at CC_Jared. And if you want to hear about what kind of tacos I had for lunch, you can find me at Jared.
Shafe, where can we find you on the internet machine?
My email is Schaefer@CokerChronicles.com, and my Twitter is @SchaeferCC. And one more thing to throw in this podcast. I got to say, after this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, that Axl Rose can go fuck himself. But at the same time...
What happened?
He didn't show up.
Yeah, he went around in circles, and then he didn't show up. And but that being said, if you come to San Antonio, I'll still go see you. If you come to Houston, I'll still go see you. And even in Dallas, I still might go see you, even though you're a total fucking prick.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to go see bands like that because you always run the risk of them not showing up.
Yeah, that was the big thing about like Axl era Guns N' Roses, that they might not show up on you.
Yeah, I went and saw them in November. Well, it's him and whoever he's got behind him, and he actually was punctual, and he put on a 3-hour show, which was great. But fuck that guy.
Yeah, I think
it was a great show, but fuck you, you know.
I think Usher was in Austin this week, and he played for like 90 seconds before he left stage and never came back.
The Axl Rose of the new generation.
There you go.
With a fucking pinky finger of the talent, so.
Yeah. okay, so that's the podcast, guys. Once again, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on the website. You can find us on Stitcher Radio, smarter way to listen to radio, and whatever. I prefer Stitcher. I listen to us on Stitcher, but you might prefer iTunes. And if you do prefer iTunes, in fact, even if you don't, hop on there, rate us, leave a comment, leave a review, tell us how awesome we are, or tell us how terrible we are. If you want to tell me, Jared, or Shafe how awesome and or terrible we are, then do so. You find us, just email us at podcast@CokerChronicles.com. And do so. Hold on, Jared's trying to tell me something. What are you trying to tell us there, Jared?
Oh, I was just going to suggest Coker Chronicles at Night for the podcast name.
Yeah, well, like the podcast title.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Cool.
Coker Chronicles at Night. Like late night, yeah.
We need a nice intro song for this one. Maybe a sexy flute.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I'm gonna do that. This, if you're listening, well, nobody cares right now, but I'm going to stick this podcast. I'm going to edit and do all that stuff tomorrow morning because I don't have to work tomorrow. Stay
awesome.
Off. Yeah.
Good for you.
Sweet. All right, so everybody say bye.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.